As I said at the outset of the service, right through our readings today runs the theme of creation through all three readings you've heard read. And the third, of course, has much to say also about worrying, which we'll come to in due course. We have the creation narrative. Thank you, Carol, for reading the long reading from Genesis 1 and the first few verses of chapter 2. We have in Romans 8 the creation groaning, awaiting its redemption. And in Matthew chapter 6, our gospel reading, part of the Sermon on the Mount, as we mentioned earlier, we hear about God's care for the birds of the air and the beauty of the flowers of the field. So the obvious question, as we've heard them read, what are we to make of each of these passages of Scripture this Sunday morning, this beautiful sunny Sunday morning? Well, of course, Genesis chapter 1 has interesting issues about it, obviously. But I would say to you, it is about the who and why of creation rather than about the how and when of creation, if you understand what I'm saying. About the who and the why rather than the how and the when. Of course, if you talk to Christians, you will get a wonderful wide spectrum of views as to how we understand the passage. You will at one end of the spectrum get the conservative creationist who believes that God made the world in 624-hour days in 4004 BC by using the calculation working back through dates in the Old Testament. Whilst at the other end of the spectrum, the ultra-liberal will say all we have is a Jewish myth and legend. The truth, of course, always lies somewhere in between. Turning first of all to dating things, I think again I've said this, is what comes from being here for nearly 6 years, that when you look at the Old Testament, once you get to the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 11, you can put some sort of date on it. Whilst no one's ever found a stone inscribed saying Abraham lived here, what you do have described his lifestyle and various other attributes in the narrative in Genesis about Abraham can date him around 2000 BC. What's described is what we know of the way people lived at the time. But before that, of course, where of course our reading comes to that, what we are taught in those opening chapters of Genesis are deep essential truths, but to remember that it isn't a science or a history book. In fact, much of it is poetic language. So what do we draw from that narrative in Genesis 1 and the beginning of chapter 2? The opening words, in the beginning when God, or in the beginning God as some translations will put it. There is no creation of God. He always has been, he always will be. He is infinite. Something we have great difficulty with our finite minds of grasping. And as I said, it's about who God created the heavens and the earth. So not how it was done, but who did it. For we have a creation with a designer, and I believe in the designer being God himself. When you look at the beauty of creation, many scientists who look very closely at things in microscopes and see amazing things, I believe it points to a designer, to a creator, and certainly Genesis declares God created. Also, God created, and the creation as it was created by God was good. Do you notice how that is emphasized each time, each of the days in the story? The emphasis is reiterated throughout the account, and at the end, the whole creation collectively is very good. The creation created by God was good, very good. And of course, following on from that, human beings, men and women, are the pinnacle of God's creation. We are made in the image of God. What a wonderful phrase that is, isn't it? To be made in the image of God. Yes, Jesus in the Gospel reading, which I shall come to in greater detail in a moment, tells us to talk to your Heavenly Father, but he created us male and female. No, God is not our mother, although we did have dear Mother Earth in the first hymn, but if you look at the scripture, there are many what we might call feminine attributes, which actually are applied to God himself. But we human beings are made the pinnacle of his creation. And we can draw from the story that we as humans are given for our use fish, birds, animals, plants, and trees. We are said to have dominion over them or to subdue them, but, and here we make a strong point, not to destroy them or to over-exploit them, which of course is the great danger in our world today. And while I believe that Christians should be at the forefront of things green and caring for the environment, for it is God's creation, and we have a great responsibility to use it sensibly and wisely. Therefore, I believe we should thank God for the beauty of his creation on this lovely sunny day, far warmer than it should be at the end of February in Prague. We can do that. We can thank God for our creation in the image of God. And we can promise to use that creation wisely for the good of all, not just a small percentage of the world's population. If, of course, we were to move on reading through Genesis and reach chapter 3, we, of course, have the wonderful story where we have been given free will and we chose to do wrong. And we heard it read by Angela at the carol service, didn't we, in December. And, of course, that marks the beginning of God bringing about the work of redemption, starting with Abraham to father God's chosen people, the Jews, and the whole Old Testament pointing forward to the coming of Jesus, who through his death on the cross brings about our redemption. And so to our second reading from Romans chapter 8. Now, all of Romans chapter 1 through to the end of chapter 8 is Paul's exposition of the Christian gospel. And there's this sort of message there at the end in the passage John read, that we are saved by what Christ has done for us on the cross, but not fully yet. We haven't fully experienced it. And so we have this lovely expression that we groan inwardly awaiting our full redemption. And so, St. Paul adds, does the whole of creation. Because of our fall, creation is seen as also fallen and awaiting its redemption. That, I think, is the message of what Paul is trying to say in that short passage where we've broken into, as I say, an argument that actually lasts the whole 8 chapters. And so to our gospel passage from Matthew. God is a God who is deeply concerned for his creation. He hasn't abandoned it. And the message comes through what Jesus says, that he cares for the birds of the air and makes the flowers and the plants to grow. And back to what I was just saying, his concern is clearly shown by sending Jesus into our world. And as Jesus is speaking to his followers, he talks about God's care for creation and says, if the birds are fed and the flowers grow, surely God will care for you and me, men and women, the pinnacle of his creation, and particularly for those who have chosen to follow his son, Jesus. And so he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life more than food and the body more than clothing? A series of what is known as rhetorical questions, to which of course we know the answer. There is a lot more to life than food, drink, and clothes. Worry, of course, is one of the great problems of our age. People suffering from stress. Worry, it makes people ill. Some people, of course, worry about the fact they've got nothing to worry about. Yes. Therefore, Jesus says, they must have forgotten something. As always, when I prepare a sermon, this one is no different, it often is a challenge to myself. What am I going to say to challenge the congregation actually challenges myself as I'm preaching. Some of you will know that this coming week, both my wife and I have significant days. Our birthdays are 2 days apart, on Monday and Wednesday, though I might add many years apart. And of course, it always is this business that you are getting older. If I can tell, give the secret away, because she's out with the children, Sybil is concerned that now with this coming birthday, she will be nearer 50 than 40. And of course, quite interesting, my son and his girlfriend are here in Prague at the moment. I notice they haven't made it to the service, but that's another story. And actually, Lisa, my son's girlfriend, said to me, I think it was either Thursday or Friday when they were here, Ricky, how do you feel about the fact you are getting this bit older and so forth? And it does concern me that I'm now older than my father was, and I'm nearly as when he died, and nearly as old as my mother was when she died. But what does Jesus say? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of life? And of course, we all know the answer to the question, don't we? No, you can't. We are in God's hands, myself included. Hence the sermon is as much for me. Yes, we do worry about food. And, of course, just ahead of us is Lent. It starts a week on Wednesday. And a disciplined Lent, eating more simply, eating less, may, of course, add a few hours to the span of our lives. And worry about clothing. Yes, ladies. You have a wardrobe full of clothes, but I've got nothing to wear. Gentlemen, if you've experienced wives and girlfriends who've said that, yes. And of course, there's this new annoying phrase that has come into the English language. Do you see it in the fashion magazines? Must have. The must have accessories for this season, for this particular look. And the question I would encourage you to ask is, why must you have it? And of course, once again, you know the answer. You don't necessarily need to have it. No, says Jesus, the first priority is what we sang before the gospel reading. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, or strive first. Work for the establishment of God's kingly rule. And kingly and just rule on earth, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This applies to us as individuals and, of course, corporately as his church. Yes, as I'm sure the treasurer will remind us at our annual meeting, which is not so many weeks away, we do need to make sure that we pay our way or strive towards paying our way. But if we are serious about working to establish God's kingdom, then, and make that priority, I believe, as Jesus says, God will provide, for he knows our needs. So on this Sunday, when we celebrate God's creation, let us thank him for it, appreciate our own creation, and seek to care for what God has given. Work towards the establishment of God's kingdom upon earth, but strive first for that and realize that all the other things that we worry about, yes, God will provide food, home, clothing. Strive, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.